2005 UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African women's football. The field is now set for the 12-team Women's Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which will take place in Morocco in July. The 12 teams that qualified are, in alphabetical order, Botswana, Burkina Faso, Burundi, Cameroon, host Morocco, Nigeria, Senegal, South Africa, Togo, Tunisia, Uganda, and Zambia. The Super Falcons of Nigeria have dominated African women's football over the years, and they've lifted the trophy at the past three Women's Africa Cup tournaments. The Super Falcons secured their place in Morocco on Wednesday in Abidjan, where they beat Ivory Coast 1-0. The Nigerian ladies won the two-match series on aggregate 3-0. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with African football analyst Sam Amadu.
Well, I really couldn't imagine the results could turn out this way. But again, I must admit that it was a hard-fought win for the Super Falcons, going up against a tough opposition like Cote d'Ivoire. And I think they really held their own, and I must commend the Super Falcons. They showed that grit, that determination, that yes, as champions, they definitely can always pull through, no matter how difficult the opposition could be. And I think this is the character they showed here. They showed quality. Even the absence of some quality legs, they really put up a very top-class performance. And understanding that this tie was a grudge match, definitely on recalling the fact that the Ivorians did stop Nigeria from qualifying in the third round for the Tokyo Olympics, in the third qualifying round for the Tokyo Olympics back in 2019. I think this snowballed into the sort of performance the players put up, the Nigerian side, and the quality preparation they also had going into that game. And I must also give kudos to the Ivorians. They also gave a very good account of themselves. They really didn't give us anything short of brilliance from the two teams. It was definitely going to be the mother of all matches in the second qualifying round of this qualifying series. And I think it was exciting to see from the first leg to the second leg. It was a dramatic encounter. It was a good result for the Nigerian side, and at least they have a chance to also go a notch higher and reclaiming or defending the title they did won in 2018.
Did you expect a tough game by the Super Falcons in Ivory Coast, especially without captain Asisat Oshoala?
Well, I really didn't have that much of a worry about the absence of Asisat Oshoala. Why? Because no doubt she's one of our biggest stars in the team, not just in the team, but again, the biggest name in women's football in Africa at the moment. And I think assessing the quality of players we have in the Super Falcons team, players who have come in and gone out under the new supervision of Randy Waldrum, we definitely have quality legs. It's just a matter of time that this team could get to synergize and also begin to really come out in a different way and become more tactically better and play attractive football like Nigerians do desire. But at the same time, I think we do have players who were just coming into the team and definitely going to be needing time to blend. Besides having some of the young lads coming in, we've seen the best of Gift Mondi and also Vivian Ikechukwu Adi, Aisha Buhari, and also now seeing some experienced legs coming from abroad in the American-born Ifeoma Onuomonu, who plays for Gotham FC in the NWSL, and also Esther Okoronkwo, another American-born who currently plays for Saint-Etienne in France. I think We really didn't have anything short of a quality having these two players around. Not just them, I think we also had from Israel, Yetunde Aluko. So quite a number of options in the attacking position who really could do their own. We also saw recently Ajibade Rashidat also doing pretty well in the attack for Atletico Madrid. She's been playing that position in most period of this season, and I think she has delivered pretty well, despite we knowing her as an attacking midfielder, but she did perfectly well playing up front for Atletico Madrid, scoring four braces at least in the whole season to hit a tally of 9. So I think we had quite a number of options that we know on a good day will always give us an edge, even though we know the Ivorian side too possess a lot of quality players, experienced legs at the same time. But no doubt, we definitely do have the legs. It was never a problem for us. A boasting of more than 20 foreign-based players, I think it speaks on about the depth in the Nigerian team and the opportunity we have, trying to turn out differently against any opposition and also putting up the best of performance in the absence of some important player. So I think it wasn't just about Cesar. Okwanoze was missing, and I think it was exciting to see the team are really pulling it off and at least showcasing the fact that, yes, they are good enough. Odega too was practically around. So we had quite a number of options, Tony Payne, and quite a number of them. So we had quite a number of options that definitely any day, anytime, will always push us to getting that important victory we did required.
Sam, do you think the Super Falcons of Nigeria will retain the Women Africa Cup of Nations title scheduled for Morocco in July?
Well, I think the Super Falcons is a team to beat. I think as 9 times African champions and also won 3 times in a row, seeking their fourth in Morocco, and which will be the first tournament on the North African soil. I think it will be exciting to see what Randy Wardrop will hope to achieve. Everyone knows that it's almost had been a tradition for Nigerian team to always go as far as winning the title, regardless of what happens. And I think in the worst case scenario, where we even possibly seem to have been on our lowest ebb, we've always reached the semifinal. So I think as much as we know the ultimatum is getting to qualify for the Women's World Cup to be hosted by Australia and New Zealand, I think defending the title this time with the quality of legs we have around and also great additions in Ashley Plumter, who really made an impactful presence in both two legs, in the two legs, I think speaks volume about the quality in the team and also about the much reason why they will always remain the team to beat.
That's African football analyst Sam Amadu. And Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. And thanks to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview with Sam Amadu.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's Premier Men's Basketball League to bring you the second season of the BAL. It is game on March 5th, 2022. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt, and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs, and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. In honor of Black History Month, we speak with a leader in the conservative political movement in the United States, former president of the Heritage Foundation, Kay James, who is now serving as Secretary of the Commonwealth of Virginia. We'll talk with Ms. James about a range of issues, including the impending appointment of a black woman to the Supreme Court. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. What was the social media landscape like during the recent Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cameroon? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the CEO of Result Sports, Mario Leo.
The social media landscape during AFCON has been absolutely buzzing because the AFCON, with all its stars, with the teams, with the surprise results, with Sierra Leone entering the knockout stage. And that's been really very positive, very impactful, especially for social media where the discussion takes place. Just to give you a couple of highlights, I mean, the Continental Africa Federation, the CAF, they gained alone 2.45 million followers across their social media platform. They announced a partnership with TikTok just at the beginning of the tournament, and TikTok alone gained more than 1.5 million followers. Just incredible numbers from social media community's perspective. Nigeria, who had a superb group stage match, gained more than 90% of their followers added to the community during the group stage and added more than 200,000 followers on it, with 80,000 on Twitter, 75,000 on Instagram, 26,000 on Facebook for the NFF, for the Nigerian Football Federation, and 20,000 for the national team, for the Super Eagles. So Ivory Coast, for example, they gained 300,000 followers. Algeria, which dropped out of after the group stage, they gained 450,000 followers. So you can see this is just an incredible amount. And Senegal, the newly crowned AFCON winner, gained almost 200,000 followers. From a total number, it doesn't sound huge. But when you believe Senegal started the tournament with 380,000 and finished the tournament now with more than 600,000, you can see that they doubled their social media community. And when we see the scenes of their arrival in Dakar, absolutely incredible.
It is understood that some lowly rated teams or so-called minnows in African football got more followers. How did it happen?
I personally believe that there's no minnows or small teams anymore overall, because obviously football has developed a tremendous amount of technology. We've got video analysts checking out the teams before. And the hosts in Cameroon obviously had a very strict bubble and rules for international guests. So you had to be very compliant, had to be vaccinated, had to be tested negative and anything in order to enter the country. And in order to enter, there were too many obstacles for the majority of fans. And therefore, all nations and all fans from the participating countries obviously stayed at home and followed the match on TV, on radio, on broadcast, but discussed the tournament completely on social media. So the smaller teams gained tremendous amount of following. Cape Verde, for example, they started the tournament with 33,000 followers, gained 30,000 followers, and ended the tournament with doubling the numbers to 63,000 followers. Sierra Leone started the tournament with 18,000 followers and ended the tournament with 45,000 followers, more than doubling their numbers. And I can go on and on with these numbers. Guinea gained 40,000 followers from 200 to 240,000. Burkina Faso gained 30,000 followers from 50 to over 80,000. So obviously the social media channels in such a large tournament are obviously the key connection point, touch point for fans to their stars, to their legends, to their federations who are playing abroad at one of the biggest tournaments in Africa and in the world.
What was the social media followers of some big names in African football? Did it improve or drop?
I can already confirm to you that there's no single event of dropping numbers, even though the teams haven't performed to expectations or the players haven't performed to expectation. Obviously, Senegal finally, after lost the last final, gained themselves and crowned themselves to be the African champion, have been the star of the tournament. With Sadio Mane, Abdou Diallo, and many, many other players, they gained just tremendous amount of following on social media. So during the 30 days of AFCON, Sadio Mane gained close to 800,000 followers. On Instagram alone. So he was already with 9 million, a very, very strong individual. But now he's at 9.9 million. He's closing down the gap to other global players, global football players above him. Mo Salah, who led the team, who took responsibilities at penalty shootouts, he gained during AFCON almost 1 million followers. And you can see, because obviously their teams in the Premier League wished the players good luck. They sent out good luck messages. They sent congratulation messages after they succeeded to the next round, which obviously kept the players from a media perspective always on a very high. And that's the reason why the social media communities and the social media users get aware of these players. The players become more known, more famous, more recognized. And obviously their pathway to be legends, especially for the Senegalese players who sort of been the first time ever African champion, have now entered the history books, not only in the traditional way, but also on social media, gained a lot of followers and a lot of following. And I hope that continues, because unlocking the digital potential with AFCON is just the beginning of what's going to happen and how Africa is going to impact the world of sports.
That's Mario Leo, the CEO of Results Sports. And Mario spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Germany.
My name is Mario Leo. I'm the founder and chief executive of Results Sports. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you, Mario.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including the announcement of sanctions against Russia by the United States and its allies in response to President Vladimir Putin's move to recognize Russian-occupied regions in eastern Ukraine as independent states. Join us for Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. I'm Sonny Young in Washington. And you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In European club football Wednesday, Atletico Madrid and visiting Manchester United drew 1-1, and host Benfica and Ajax drew 2-2. Both matches were first leg round of 16 encounters in the UEFA Champions League. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports holla for Sebastian Haller, the prolific Ivory Coast striker for Ajax. He continues to score goals in the UEFA Champions League. Haller now has 11 goals in 7 matches for Ajax and 1 for Benfica. That's right. Haller deflected a hard low cross into his own net to bring the team's level at 1-1 in the 26th minute. But he made amends just 3 minutes later when he tapped home a rebound to continue his scoring streak. Speaking after the match, Sebastian Haller told the Dutch broadcaster RTL7 that he blamed himself for the own goal, and he was glad he was able to score quickly afterwards. In his words, you need to be there at the good moment. Meanwhile, the reigning European club football champion Chelsea defeated Lille earlier this week 2-0 in another UEFA Champions League match. The Blues of Chelsea won without the help of Belgian star Romelu Lukaku. Chelsea's manager Thomas Tuchel decided to keep Lukaku on the bench. VOA's Gwen Ooten joins us now with comments from Tuchel. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last August, Romelu Lukaku signed with Chelsea as the club's highest paid player. But since then, his performance on the pitch has raised questions on whether the 28-year-old is the right fit. Last Saturday, Lukaku broke an unwanted Premier League record during Chelsea's 1-0 victory against Crystal Palace. The Belgian striker managed only 7 touches of the ball, the fewest of any league player during a 90-minute game. And on Tuesday, Lukaku stayed on the bench as an unused substitute for their last 16 tie in the Champions League. Chelsea went on to defeat Lille in that first leg match 2-0. And afterwards, manager Thomas Tuchel said he opted to keep Lukaku on the bench to give him a much-needed break.
Yeah, every game is different. Every game is different. The focus was today on intensity and on high-speed game and on also hard work against the ball, off the ball, to have an intensive teamwork. And Romelu struggled in the last games a little bit to deliver that. That's what I meant when I said I felt him a bit tired. Not only mentally tired, but also physically tired, which I can understand. He played like, I think, since the Liverpool game, and he started every match for us, and were like some extra times in it as well. And it is like this. And then today we went for three other players too. And Kai is in a very good shape, full of confidence, and gives a lot of work rate and high intensive meters to the team. And that was the decision today. For Sunday, we have 4 days to decide and to recover.
Last season, Lukaku scored 24 league goals and provided 11 assists for Inter Milan to help his former club clinch the Serie A title. But he has only scored 5 goals in 17 Premier League games with Chelsea. And the striker has complained that the club's current system does not suit him. Lukaku has had to overcome injury and a bout with COVID-19 this season. But in spite of his absences, Chelsea have remained formidable on the pitch. They are currently third in the Premier League and in a strong position to defend their Champions League title. However, Thomas Tuchel points out the attention has not been on their victories, but remains focused on Lukaku, both on and off the pitch.
Was not the moment after the match where everybody was focused on the few touches that he had to put him right away into the next fire. It was the moment to take a step back. That was the decision, and that's it. But you can clearly see. I mean, we have now a strong win. We had a strong performance. It was a tough match, and almost every question is about Romelu. So the focus is huge. There are like 9 other players who did not play, and we should never forget that we consider this sport a team sport. And this is it. And then the 11 guys who play do everything to commit fully to what we plan and to commit fully to their teammates. And the guys from the bench have to do the same. And this is how it works, especially at Chelsea and especially for us. And this is how we win football games.
And he's hoping to win his next football game this Sunday when his side will face Liverpool for the Carabao Cup final. Tuchel says Romelu Lukaku has every chance of starting for Chelsea in their first domestic final of the year. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors will be back in action Friday night when they play the Charlotte Hornets in North Carolina. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember the Hornets are the NBA team owned by basketball great Michael Jordan. Jordan was recently in Cleveland, Ohio for the NBA's All-Star Weekend. MJ was one of 75 players named to the NBA's 75th anniversary team. And that select squad was unveiled in Cleveland. I'm sure it was a thrill, even for a guy like MJ, to be surrounded by so many basketball legends in Cleveland. And while most of the players named to the NBA's 75th anniversary team are Americans, let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to two players selected with very strong ties to Nigeria. Giannis Antetokounmpo of the reigning NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks and the now retired Akeem the Dream Olajuwon. Yes, Akeem the Dream gets my vote as the greatest basketball player Africa has ever produced.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Now let's go to Florida, where first round action is teeing off at the Honda Classic Professional Golf Tournament. George McNeely has this preview for us.
The PGA Tour is back here in the Sunshine State for the Honda Classic, and Australian Matt Jones is here to defend his title of 1 year ago. Jones fired a course record-tying opening round en route to a five-shot victory 3 days later for his second career tour title and first win in 7 years. Now, this year's field includes 12 players currently in the top 50 of the world golf rankings, including Jupiter's own Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger.
I think one of the advantages is obviously being in your own bed and being so close to home and having the support from your family and friends so close by. You know, I went to high school not far down the road, and, you know, I've played well here in the past, and I've got good memories here and almost won here my rookie year, so... it's a tough golf course. I think it suits my game really well. And as the course continues to get firmer and faster, I think the scores aren't going to be very high, and there could be some carnage out there.
Others getting set to play this par 70, 7,125-yard Tom Fazio layout, reimagined by Jack Nicklaus in both 1990 and 2014. Known as one of the most difficult on tour, and that suits Koepka quite well.
I like difficult courses. I think that's why... I mean, I can't compete when it's 30 under, 25 under every week. That's not me. I'm not going to go out and go shoot 66, 65 every round. Probably why you see U.S. Opens, I'm pretty much contending every time. And the more difficult tracks I seem to do.
The words of Brooks Koepka here on the Champions Course at PGA National, made even more challenging by what's known as the bear trap. Holes 15, 16 and 17, a watery stretch that can literally cause a contender's chances to sink or swim. The bear trap played a combined 230 over par last season, and over 1,600 balls hit by the tour's elite have found the water since the PGA Champion Course began hosting the Honda Classic way back in 2007. From PGA National, for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm George McNeely in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida.
Thanks, George. And that wraps up the February 24th edition of the show. you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the sunny side of sports.